Does your computer repair business website need work? Go to techsitebuilder.com and get the official Podnuts method for making a site that works. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 257. Lalo Nunez joins us today. Lalo, yep. How's it going with you?
Outstanding, sir. Outstanding.
Oh, that's great. LaloNunez.com. It's your blog, right?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the URL of your computer repair site again?
It's Firefly, NS, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam.com.
Gotcha. Lalo lives down in Brandon, Florida, right outside of Tampa. You're in Brandon, right? Is it considered Brandon?
Yeah, it's Brandon, but the Waffle House is, well, I don't know about the Waffle House. The Waffle House is considered like Tampa, so right down the street is Tampa.
Oh, you're right,
right actually
there.
Live at is Brandon, so I'm right on the border.
And I'm actually moving down to Florida, and I'm going to be, I don't know, a mile or two away from where Lalo lives, and the Waffle House, more importantly. That was my first time ever going to a Waffle House.
Awesome food, man.
I like the Waffle House. Got to go back there. Okay, so Podnuts Daily is a show about computer repair. Computer repair technicians come on the show. They give us tips and tricks. They tell us what they're doing, what they're running into, what they like, what they don't like. And Lalo is a computer repair technician. He has some stuff for us that he wants to share with us. So take it away, Lalo.
All right, man. Let me just go over a few cases within the couple of weeks I encountered. One of my clients had called me. She had a laptop. And she said, every time I stick in a CD, it kicks it right out. After talking to her, she uses a Windows Media Player. So every time she popped a disc in, not all of them, but I say about half, it would just pop right out and it just would not play.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it's something with the drive after a few tests and this and that. And then just for kicks and giggles, I check out her media player the settings. And under the RIP Music tab, the default for is RIP the music when the CD is inserted only in the RIP tab. So if you go on the media player under that RIP tab, at that point, it will rip that music. For some reason, hers was set to do it always. So, of course, when media player knew it had already ripped that CD previously, it kicked it right back up.
So the CD was, in fact, ripped. Like, it would rip every CD that she put in?
Exactly. So that's why the ones that she did not rip would play, and the ones that she had ripped wouldn't play.
If she listens to music a lot on her computer, would she fill up her hard drive?
Oh, tons. In fact, she had called me once, and she only had 300 megabytes free.
Damn.
So, and then, but what has surprised me, I ran CC Cleaner, and it cleared up something like 24 gigabytes. I was like, wow.
Whoa, that's the most I've ever gotten on CC Cleaner.
Yes, and she's one of my first clients ever. I think I met her 5 years ago. She's very nice, and she's one I'm dying to do a OS reinstall the one day, but that's the original copy of Windows that came with that laptop.
Wow. XP?
XP.
Sweet, man. If you're the maintainer of that, then you're doing a good job.
Yeah, exactly. Every 6 to 8 months, she calls me up, and I just do a routine stuff. So.
Wow. That is saying something. If you're in 2010, you're on an original install of Windows XP, wow. Good job.
Cool.
And that's a good tip, too. I mean, if anybody's out there has their CD spitting out of their computer and they don't know why.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was at her home for about 45 minutes, and then, you know, I got to the point where I've tried the basic troubleshooting steps, and of course, hers was the only laptop there, but so I didn't have mine at the moment. I mean, I just said, okay, you got a bad drive, or I'll order you a drive, and then for kicks and giggles, like I said, I just looked at the options, and one of the things that just, I looked that kind of weird and tried, and it worked, so.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah.
That's the instinct. I'm telling you, it's the instinct.
Like a ninja. I got a beef with Patriot. I don't know if you remember, one of my clients had these SSD drives, and it went bad. Well, they had sent me a new one for that PC, so that one worked fine. So this same gentleman had bought two of them, because he had two of the PCs built. So the second one, the same symptoms, wouldn't boot up. I couldn't see it in the BIOS. I changed the jumper over. I was able to see it in the BIOS, but unfortunately, I couldn't even format the drive.
Same thing. So is this standard on Patriots, or is this another error with the drive?
Well, after doing some research, apparently, I supposedly on Patriot's site, they had a bad batch of these drives.
Oh, man.
So at the time, they have, the gentleman bought 12 of them. But what's good, all these drives come with a 10-year warranty. So
yeah, but I mean, it's inconvenient. You got to send it back to the company.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and these things are expensive too, right? You're talking about like a, how big is the SSD?
I want to say 128, and he bought them when they just came out.
Oh,
I
think, man.
I think he paid close to $300 a piece.
Wow.
So I told him, I said, not a problem. I said, let me just get the drive. I picked it up. Now we took it out. Well, my guy, a partner, had took it out of the case and he gave it to me. I put it inside little, you know, the packaging. I sent it off. I get an email saying, we will not replace your drive because your warranty has been voided. And they claim that the label, that warranty, neon, the sticker, whatever the case may be, was ripped off. And the email, the gentleman stated, I have included the pictures. And I look at the pictures, and all these stickers are intact. I have no idea what this guy's talking about. So I sent him an email back. I said, well, first of all, the typical story, you know, I recommend your products, blah, blah, blah. I go, but according to your pictures, which I sent you a copy of, I said, I don't see how the label is ripped off. All I right. said, if you can please explain to me what the problem is with this drive, please let me know. So I still haven't gotten a response back.
Oh, man. How long has it been?
Oh, it's been like 10 days. Now, luckily, with the client, I put one of my SATA drives in.
Yeah.
So I don't think he really knows the difference because he has an operational machine. But here I am, and I haven't received the drive back, so I'm not sure what they're doing. But if he sends me this drive back, I have a $300 brick in a box. And I'm going to be very upset.
Oh, man.
And every time I come on your show, in fact, I'll have t-shirts made. Patriot sucks. If it gets to that point, but it's not there yet.
I will assist you with that. Hey, man. I think it's, I don't like letting people get away with stuff like that. And seriously, like if a business wants to be shady, then we will announce it to the world.
Yes, I agree. And like a yellow page, the city, they suck too. See a prior podcast for that rant.
Yeah, we have a couple of them about that.
Yeah. But, I mean, the drive is perfectly intact. And I told them in my reply, if you look at this case and I give them the case number, we did the same thing to an identical drive 2 months ago.
Right.
And I asked my guy, I was like, was there anything weird? He goes, no, I just took the hard drive out and then we met up and I gave it to you. So,
you
that
know,
kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, well, that would really piss me off. I mean, can you call them?
There's a phone number there. I haven't called yet because the 2 weeks since I've left the senior has been kind of chaos. I had family in town. And so when you have family in town, of course, they want to go to the beaches and they want to, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yes, I will give him a call because I will be very upset and I will use every public means to display my not happiness. So.
I got you. And I've found it successful to get supervisors. You know what I mean? It's like I'm sick of level one techs right now.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of funny because when I go to the client's house and they have problems with the ISP, of course, I call and I get the level one guy, like you said, hey, you know, the guy or girl is just doing their job, you know, so they're nine out of 10 times they deal with an individual that doesn't really know. But I go on there. I'm like, how you doing? I don't mean to be disrespectful. I did a ping, a trace route. I reset the router, blah, blah, blah. And they go, all right, thanks. I will transfer you to level two.
Yeah, that's good. If you throw some terms at them, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So
you get a lot farther, a lot faster. You won't be pulling your hair out.
Yeah. And the key to that, I'm being respectful. I'm not being like snobby you know, I'm just letting them know all the steps that I've done all that. So.
Right. Yeah. I think I might have to work on that a little bit just because I'm so upset when I have to call somebody. I'm just upset that I have to call in the first place.
Well, are you upset or are you like Mel Gibson upset?
Oh, come on. That's beyond upset. That's animal.
That man has issues. I don't know who is that angry.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you enter a woman into the equation.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, was that just one long conversation? But anyways, but maybe he was pissed off because he had a virus. I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows the truth? But you can't have that at least being recorded and out in the public. That's pretty damn bad. Yeah. But you made me forget what I was going to say now.
Oops.
About something about level 2 technician, blah, blah, blah.
I've been respectful at the spiel.
Yeah, I forget. I was on the tip of my tongue. Okay, I'll remember it later, probably.
Okay. Microsoft Security Essentials. I've been a believer of their product, but I ran through a case where a client had called me up. They had just bought a PC, so I put it on there, and they called me 5 days later saying they were infected with viruses. So
wow.
I went over there, and when I install Microsoft Security Essentials, I changed the defaults from the recommended actions to just remove everything, except if it's a low threat, then I say quarantine. So I went to her home. I looked at the PC, and they were playing online games and whatnot. But, I mean, this thing was beyond infected. And I was really surprised that Microsoft, the Security Essentials, didn't catch it, because they've caught most stuff before.
Really? Well, yeah, who was there? Teenagers? What? Who's playing games?
It was, a mid-20s.
Okay.
So, but it was like the mom's, like, PC, and I think she only goes on Facebook, which, whatever.
Yeah.
But, it was just beyond effective. But what's funny is Microsoft, it kept catching it, and it said it would remove it, and it was successful, and then it came back again.
Huh.
I mean, this constant loop. So I put AVG on there, and then that took care of it, and it was a done day. So that's kind of a black spot for me now.
Ooh, AVG. And that handled it, huh?
Yep. I did a scan, and it found it. And then, and of course I ran malware bytes, and the other usual suspects just to be safe. But at least AVG stopped the infection from reoccurring. Malware bytes have removed some traces. So, again, no antivirus is perfect. I tell people all the time, I get asked this by everyone, what's the best antivirus? I'm like, there's not really one.
Right.
There's a combination of best practices and a combination of products. So, that's just the way it is.
Do you use AVG a lot?
I got one PC with the Microsoft product. I got the other one with AVG. Then I got the other one with Avera. So I actually use all three just to see, what's out there.
Right, right. That's good. That's good. I was just curious. I haven't heard from them in a while. I mean, people stopped using them after 7.5 and 8 when they got real bloated. And
yeah. Version 9 is pretty good. As far as not as bloated as 8 and 8.5. So, and lately I've been putting AVG on the clients, the PC, and I haven't heard any complaints, because when you deal with clients, if there's something wrong, they will let you know, because for one reason, they're paying for your service.
Right.
So I haven't heard anything.
That's a good point. I think AVG has come a long way. They really have. They started out like just completely free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people used them and used them and used them and used them. And I think they kind of did it right. I mean, they made themselves free for so long that people are buying it now. They actually are paying for it. I saw it in Walmart, and you can see it in stores. Interesting company. Interesting business plan.
Yes. And you're correct, because I have a couple of clients that actually, when I do a ring store, I see that they've paid for the full version.
Right.
And I that's cool. But, that's to their the product. I mean, when you offer something free and someone pays for the professional product, and that's saying something right there.
Right, exactly. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I've run across some PCs, and especially with HP Home, of course, you can't log in through the administrator account in HP Home unless you go to safe mode. And I'm shocked at how many times the password is, there is no password. and I try to tell people to always use a password, even under user accounts. It's always just best just to use some type of password with a typical combination, uppercase, lowercase, because that's extra layer of protection. We all know if you have physical access to the bots, it's yours. But you'd be surprised if you look at the logs of your routers, how many times your bots gets slammed with stuff.
Right.
And if you're local administrator account doesn't have a password, I mean, that's a hole on your PC.
Well, you said it right there. Like you said, you'd be surprised how many times your box gets hit with attacks. Come on. Most people do not have any clue that that's happening. And they're thinking like you're thinking. I mean, they have the computer in front of them. they don't care who in the house has access. They probably want everybody in the house to have access. And it's hard to think with that they're getting attacked from the outside, you know?
Right. And when I was in school for I have a bachelor's in information and security, and we had a couple of exercises where there are a lot of exploits that pry, that just pray that you don't have a password on the local
really?
Account. Yeah. And then, like, the system is yours, you know? So I tell folks, I use a password. In the corporate environment, what happens is, for example, where I work at, I have domain administrative rights, but also we have another user account that does not have domain administrator rights. What or domain administrator, you have rights throughout the whole entire, on every PC, on most servers, so you pretty much have rights among the whole entire network. So for our everyday use, we the best practice is to use an account with limited, an ordinary user account. Then if you need to do anything, install a program or do another type of function, you use your admin account, if that makes any sense.
Huh.
What that does is that protects you from possibly affecting the PC with something, or just doing major harm onto your system.
Right.
Because, of course, if every home user runs as an administrator, so, you know, this is where a lot of, kids go on there and they start clicking away, installing programs or, like, erasing this or whatnot. But you don't really see this done at the home level, which is understandable because most people don't want to log off or log back on and install, like, a program.
I was kind of surprised how many user accounts were set up on machines. I got into my shop. There was a lot of times there was user accounts, and usually the kids put passwords on their accounts, and the parents didn't. That's how it usually came in.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's just because the kids didn't want the parents to see what was in their account.
Exactly.
Right.
And, and that's like another good point that you bring up, and, you know, because when you work on these PCs, and you can kind of tell a lot about, like, a person by just, you know, desktop icons, files and folders, and
you can.
And some of these kids, I'm like, man, if mom and dad, I have no idea if mom and dad actually knows what their kids are doing. But, I'm not out there to play dad, so.
Right, exactly. But I have gotten into several accounts just to clean the system and found, like, what their wallpaper actually is on the machine. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, or you're doing a backup and you see pictures of some type of illegal activity. It's okay. I never seen that, but okay.
Exactly. So, I don't think I ever saw illegal activity.
When I say illegal activity, it's not like that somebody killed somebody, but, you know.
Right. I got
stuff that gets done at parties. Anyways, there are two links which I think I have emailed you, but anyone can Google these. And if you Google Windows shortcuts or Windows run commands, those can be your friend. And I'll tell you why. Sometimes I get on a system and it's just slow. It just chugging along. Of course, we all have been there where you wait for the mouse to come along, or, you know, you wait for a window to pop up. But if you know if to go to add and remove the programs, you go to the run command and hit appwiz.cpl, it pops right up.
I'm going to this on your notes. I want to see what you're talking about here. Okay. This isn't the thing that you sent me today?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And if you look, so what I've done for me a couple of years ago, I said, okay, what are the common administrative functions I do on a PC? So I kind of highlighted those, and I've kind of had those to a memory. So, and even on some the systems where the mouse doesn't even work, I don't need the mouse. I can just go ahead and navigate through at the run command or the command prompt.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Did you bring this up before? I think you did.
I think I did.
Yeah,
not the same thing,
but you gave us tips about how to get things done faster.
Yeah. And also in the discussion forums, I posted a auto edge script. It's an EHC that actually, there are buttons on there and it launches the most common task. But what I've done, when you hit the button, it tells you the command. So it's kind of it forces you to know the command, then it launches. So.
I see. Let me post the tiny URL of this in the chat room. And I want to say it also on the the show. Oops, it's saying I can't do it. It looks like it entered it on my end, though. I don't know if you guys could see that in the chat room. But anyway, it's tinyurl.com / YJFOVL5. And this is cool because, okay, where is it on my hand? It's from mypchell.com. It's a guide on the... This is awesome. Oh, man, I wish I had this stuff, too. I never even ever looked this up. This is a great thing. It's the run, the command line, or the run prompt commands to just open up simple tasks. Yeah, this is great. Okay, I'm totally tracking with you now. I wanted to see visually what you were talking about.
Oh, no. And it's fine. And it's great on a system that is infected. You ever see where the malware won't allow you to click on certain things?
Yes, the icons are gone.
But, you know, if you can get to the run command or... a command prompt, I mean, and you're golden because you can get to these commands. So,
sweet. Awesome. That's a great tip. Okay, what else you got?
Well, I was hoping the door would be on because I didn't want to take up the whole entire hour. So that's why I kind of jotted down.
You know, his Skype is still dark. I'm going to try calling him while we're doing the show right now. See what happens. This is unlike door. Yeah, he's not there.
Or if there's anybody else in the chat room that wants to...
Well, I got a ton of emails. If you if you don't have anything else, let me... I could rip through these.
Go for it.
Okay, this one is from Jorge. He says, great show with Jose the Computer Doctor. I agree 100% with in regards to SpyBot. Yeah, Jose was saying he was a SpyBot. And, you know, SpyBot has gone... in and out of popularity, I think, a couple times, and it looks like a lot of people like it these days. He says, this has become my number one tool for virus remover. Malwarebytes, Trojan Remover, and the rest of the gang I use only as secondary tools for now. Just giving you my thoughts and experience about SpyBot. Not sure why technicians are not using such a great tool. Talk to you later. What do you think about SpyBot, Lalo?
I have to agree. After listening to that show, I think we all kind of like forgot about it, and especially with... Malwarebytes and super anti-spyware and all the other ones being so popular.
Right.
But after I listened to that podcast, it's now on my flash drive. So.
Huh. Well, I guess people have to add it back into their toolkit. Mm-hmm. All right. Dara says, hey, Steve, I had a call out to an architect's office for an Outlook Express issue. When send receive kicked in, it spewed up an error message relating an email not being deliverable and suggesting spam problems. At first, I thought it was the email setting, so I verified it that they worked with Outlook Express on my laptop. Next, I thought it was a spam bot running on the PC, so I created a new Windows user in a clean Outlook. I created the email account, and send receive came back clean, or so I thought. I imported the DBX files into the new profile. Bam! Send receive spewed up the error message again. When closing Outlook Express, it prompted me to send emails now that were in the Outbox, but the Outbox folder was empty. In the DBX store folder, the outbox.dbx was 10 megabytes, as if there were phantom emails in the file. I simply deleted the outlook.dbx file, launched Outlook, and after send receive, it was now clean, no error messages. Had I known this initially, I would have spent half an hour max, not 2 hours, transferring docs and desktop items to a new Windows user. Love the podcast. Keep them coming. Bye from Ireland. That's from Dara. Yeah, that's a good Outlook Express tip. Is it Outlook Express or Outlook?
Hopefully it's Outlook because if you're on Outlook Express.
Yeah. But okay, I've gotten that error myself, I believe. I couldn't remember what I did, but
if it's DBX, I think it's Outlook Express.
Yeah, Outlook Express. So he just basically was getting an error message like that, and he deleted the outbox.dbx file, the entire file, and then after he launched Outlook Express again, it was clean. Good tip, man. I love it.
Yep.
Thanks, Dara. All right, Jeffrey says, Steve, I had a customer call me up with some questions after shopping for a laptop at Best Buy. I had to set the customer straight on so much misinformation that they received from the salesman. The first thing the salesman said was not to get a Dell because all the parts were Dell specific and that the laptops selling in the store had all interchangeable parts with others. They basically told him, don't get a Dell because all the other laptops have interchangeable parts. Okay, wow, that's terrible. And
that is terrible, but I get that question quite often. Believe it or not, when someone calls me up and says, I need to replace normal hard drive or something. What should I get? And I just, you know, I give them a link off CompUSA, but like, well, I can't get that because I have a Dell or a Compact. I'm like, no, you're okay. Just go ahead and get it.
You're right. I've gotten that too, where guys have come in with a Toshiba laptop and they have a paper they printed off of the internet of because they need a hard drive, like they need a hard drive replacement. So, and they come in with their laptop and then they come in with a paper they printed off the internet from Toshiba's website with this with a hard drive for that laptop for sale, and they think that they have to get that Toshiba hard drive.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, it's astounding. Actually, it happens a lot. And when you actually pull a hard drive in and it takes you like a day, they're amazed because they're like, wait, don't you have to order that from Dell? Like, nope.
I think what that mostly comes from, not that I think about it, like when you have your vehicle, if you want to replace a part in your vehicle, it has to be that year, make, and model. So I don't know if that's where it comes from.
Yeah, I bet you're right. Jeff says the next thing they told him was that Office 2010 wouldn't open documents created with older versions and that it was harder to install than the earlier versions of Office and that they could do it for $20. I've never heard such blatant BS before in my life. Okay, so this salesman's telling the customer that the new version of Office is harder to install the old one and we could do it for $20. Give me a break, man.
No, that's all just... I mean, I used to work at Best Buy a long time ago before the Geek Squad, and I used to manage a bunch of technician teams. And I'm probably to say that all of my teams were honest. I would not sell grandma a $4,000 the PC.
Good.
That just wasn't me, you know?
Well, that's you, and that's good for you, and you're a stand-up guy. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to just try to get their numbers up. I hear unheard of BS when I walk through Best Buy on a regular basis.
You ever go to like a Best Buy and just act like you don't know anything just to amuse yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. Or you know what? I kind of run. I don't do it on purpose. A lot of times I do it by accident where there might be something I'm curious about. And I ask the salesman and then he feeds me a line that I just know is wrong.
Like the gold plated monster cables that cost $80.
Exactly. Oh man, that's the biggest ripoff in the world. And that company's so paranoid because they know they're just the biggest ripoff ever, that they just sue everybody who challenges their using their name. Anybody with monster name, they'll sue them. That's just a completely paranoid company. I mean, they know people get paranoid when they know they're doing something wrong on a daily basis and continue to do it. that's like the whole personality of that company, I think.
Okay.
I have strong views about that, don't I? Okay. Mike from Super Anti Spyware wrote me. By the way, guys, go into the forums, Podnuts forums. Mike from Super Anti Spyware, he wrote me specifically because he wants to know from Podnuts listeners because he gets a lot of feedback from you guys regarding Super Anti Spyware, and he knows that we use the software and like it or don't like it, and he wants feedback on they're releasing a release of Super Anti Spyware. He wants to know what you guys, as technicians and anybody else, want in this software. I posted a link to a thread in the forum. So if you have any input on the newest version of Super Anti Spyware, go in the forums and fill out the respond to that thread and put whatever you want in there. They want any kind of feedback, good, bad, ugly, just put it in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they are now including VirusTotal's premier file analyzing service in Super Anti Spyware, it looks like. That's pretty cool. Now, if anybody doesn't know what VirusTotal is, it's that site where you can just submit a file to them, and they'll analyze it and tell you whether it has a virus in it or not. So it looks like, I'm just trying to read the full email here. Looks like they're including that in Super Anti Spyware. That's very cool. Thanks, Mike. And hopefully we get you some good feedback. All right. Jeff says, okay, that's an accident. He should not have sent that to me. That was an accident. I took it and I read it and I'm like, wow, Jeff, thanks for this. And I'm going to read it on the show. And he's like, oh no, I actually sent this to you. Don't read this on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it was something, even some forms he wanted to send to somebody else. Okay. This is, soldering system. This is from Blaine. I actually have to log into the forums. Let me see if the site is up here. Ooh, it is up. This is from Blaine. He says, he asks about a soldering system, and I told him I don't have the experience on this. Steve D is probably your best bet. But he says, I'm currently using a Wahl, W-A-H-L, easy change, a Wahl easy change, to do my delicate soldering test. I really like to know, hang on a sec. I really like how the feel of the Wahl. It is very comfortable to use, but it just doesn't deliver enough heat for my needs. Does the Hakko 936 look like a good deal to you? Would there be a better system out there for me around that same price? I have no experience with soldering systems, so I'll defer to your judgment. I told him, hey, the only thing I used for soldering was a 15-watt Radio Shack soldering iron. It was like $7 at Radio Shack. And for some tasks, that didn't put out enough heat, but for 99.9%, I think it did. Now, this Hakko 936, that's H-A-K-K-O. Is it K-K-O? HAKKO 936. You could look it on eBay. Just type in 936 soldering, and you'll probably pull it up. I have no experience with that. So if anybody does, find Blaine in the forums and give him some information on some good soldering stuff out there. Do you have any info for us, Lalo, for that?
No, I am watching the videos. So
okay, cool. Thanks for that, Blaine. Hopefully, we could help you out with that. John says, I have a client that dropped their MacBook, the white one with the battery that goes 3/4 of the way across the bottom. On boot, I get a white light that shows it's powering on, but no chime or Apple startup screen. There is no faint image on the screen when it fails to boot. However, if I try it repeatedly, moving the screen to different positions, it will eventually boot. Once it boots, it will boot every time. Once it's up, I can move the screen back and forth, and it stays on. I'm guessing that the inverter needs to be replaced. My question is, will a cracked inverter cause the computer to not boot at all? I don't think, John, that it's the inverter. I don't think it's a screen problem. I have a feeling that it's some kind of short on the motherboard. And when you're adjusting the screen, it's probably flexing something ever so slightly to get it to power on. But it doesn't make sense that once it's on, you can't get it to turn off. That if there was a short, it would short out once you started moving the screen all around. I don't know. Let's see. If he tries repeatedly moving the screen into different positions, it will eventually boot. Yeah, it could be a short in the inverter. It actually could be a short in the inverter if the inverter's cracked, and that might be causing it. But it's quite odd that once it's up and running, you could move the screen all over the place and it would stay right on. So maybe something needs to just kind of charge up. Let's see. That's a tough one. That is a tough one. I have no clue on that. Best place for you, John, on that one is the Podnuts forums. Those guys are smarter than me. You have any suggestions, Lalo, for this one?
No, you are the laptop king, so.
Hey, any experience I have where you repeatedly get something to start up and finally it does, I think have been motherboard related to me or the power adapter. Some power adapters get damaged to where they're not putting up out a high enough amperage to get the machine up and running. The voltage is good, I think, but it's not enough amps, so it's like not enough juice going through. So sometimes they need to kind of charge themselves up. I guess the capacitors need to get charged or something, and it'll work. But so it's like it seems like a power issue. That's why I'm guessing motherboard. I bet if you replace the logic board, you'd have no problem. Just my guess. Okay, this is from Chico. He says, hey, Steve, it's me, Chico, again. I was wondering about how I can accept credit cards using PayPal and my website builder webpage. Any ideas? This would be a great thing to add. Thanks again, Chico. Yeah, this would be a great thing to add to the tech website builder. He's talking about the Podnuts product. It's techsitebuilder.com. If you're a computer repair technician who just wants to get a website up and running and use basically the exact model that I use for my business, that's what that package is all about. It doesn't have a PayPal Buy It Now button, but honestly, here's what I did for PayPal. When I wanted to accept a credit card, I would just save this in Notepad. I would open up PayPal. I'd go into PayPal under the merchant settings, and I would create a wow. Do you hear this motorcycle outside?
Yes.
Jeez. Wow. That should be illegal. I would create a buy now button in PayPal. And all you have to do is do this one time. I'd create a buy now button in PayPal, and I would just get the code for the buy now button. And you have to get the code that's meant for email. If you get the code that's meant to install the buy now button on your web page, it's like a form. You don't want the form. You just want the email link. Because if you get the PayPal button that you can insert into an email, it's just one line of code. It's a link. And I just took that link, that line of code, I put it in Notepad, and I called it PayPal or something like that. And every time I needed to run a credit card, I would just open up that PayPal Notepad, take that line of code, and paste it in my browser. And that's how I did it. Because if you do it this way, and you're able to paste it in your browser, you could change the amount. See, say the customer owes you $79. You could just type $79 into the line of code. If you do it any other way, you actually have to create a separate button for every time you want to charge a different amount, a different price. You have to create a separate button. This was my way of circumventing having to create a separate button every time. I would just go into the PayPal line of code and change the amount owed in there. And then once I pasted that into the browser, it would, boom, it would pull up just as if I pressed a buy now button on a website. So that's how I did it. Maybe that's why I didn't include it in the website builder, because I didn't even have it on my own web page.
And PayPal never threw a red light, or
they didn't like the fact that all these transactions were coming from one IP, because a buy now button is something that somebody's supposed to press at home on their computer, and they're supposed to enter their own information. You know, the customers are supposed to enter their own information. So they did give me a problem about that, but they never suspended me. But they did say, "Hey, what's going on here? You really shouldn't do that." And I go, "I'm sorry," and I just kind of kept doing it. All right. Hey, let me just read these other two. Let's get all the emails knocked out. What do you say?
That's cool.
And then we could scold Door-to-Door Geek after this.
There you go.
This is from Jorge. Again, he says, "Steve, this one's for you, Apple fan. You would love to see these numbers like this from Apple." And he sent me the link to that Computer World article where it says Microsoft sells 10 Windows 7 licenses per second. 25 million sold in the last 29 days, 175 million since launch, says the company. Well, you could see, there's something about saying this. When you buy a computer, it comes with Windows. So it's not like Microsoft's doing a brilliant marketing strategy. They just have their the Windows 7 is just installed on computers. So, of course, Windows 7 licenses are being sold because they're on computers that people are buying. It's not like they're standing out there with, you know, a fold-up table on a corner selling Windows 7. It's like these things are coming in machines. Most people who buy computers take it for granted. They don't say, "Oh, thank you for selling me a Windows 7 license along with this, you know, Dell laptop." It just comes with it. You know what I mean? So it's just no feat for me, anything out of the ordinary as far as you know, brilliant Microsoft marketing. It's just, this is what comes on computers. People buy computers, and that's what comes on them.
Right, and then the other part of the equation is Microsoft. I worked for a lot of corporations, and they have a volume of licenses where it's good for like 3,000 or 4,000, 10,000 activations.
Oh, right, so, there you go. That's, yeah, brilliant.
And I don't know, I'm not sure if that goes toward the count or not, but
I would think it would, but I don't know the facts, but that's a great point. I mean, they could have like, okay, for example, it says 25 million sold in the last 29 days. They could have made a 25 million licensed copy of Windows and sold one copy of that. And then there you go.
Right.
So good point. Good point. And I rip on Microsoft a lot, especially lately, but, I don't hate them. I am interested in them, and I do like Windows 7 a lot, but, they're just fun to pick on, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why I do.
You're fun to pick on. if it wasn't for Microsoft, I wouldn't have a job, so I'm thankful.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Microsoft, I think a lot of things would be different. And, well, who knows? That's an interesting thought. Maybe we should bring that up on the Great Tech Debate or something.
Yeah.
All right, Eric says, and this is the last email, by the way. Eric says, "Hi, I have a Dell laptop, or Dell Latitude D600. When I try to log on to Windows XP, I have to hold down the key to enter a letter. I have to hold down on the key to enter a letter. Okay. For example, the username is mom, and you have to hold down on the M key until you see a dot. Then the O key until you see a dot. Then the M key again until you see a dot. I have to do this for the username and password. I also, when I use Firefox, Control Plus to make the web page bigger, it works. But when I go to another web page, it's small. It seems to me something's wrong with the keyboard. Last week, I cleaned the laptop from viruses using Ultimate Boot CD for Win, and it had about 360 plus viruses. The Control Alt Delete was disabled, so I enabled it for security reasons. I then shut down the computer and started it up. When I pressed Control Alt Delete to log into Windows XP, I was locked out. I plug in a USB keyboard, it didn't work. I removed the laptop keyboard. Okay, this is what I was going to suggest. Let me see what he says about this. I removed the laptop keyboard and I plug in the US keyboard, then started the computer to log on to Windows XP, and it did not work. I can't use the combination Control Alt Delete to log on to Windows XP or the combination Control Plus or Control F1. Is this a virus problem or a keyboard problem? Okay, Eric, simple solution here. You know, load up the Ultimate Boot CD for Windows.
There you go. There you go.
Or a Linux distribution or any bootable CD. And if your keyboard works fine with that, then it's definitely a Windows problem.
I agree.
If you're still having a problem, check in the BIOS. Maybe the keyboard's set to a different setting or different country or something like that. I would check in the BIOS. But yeah, Lalo, what do you think?
Oh no, I took the words out of my mouth. I would try a live CD because then that would tell you straight up if it's a hardware problem or if it's a Windows issue, and then that just eliminates a lot of hassle on your end. So
yeah, live CDs take the software guesswork totally out of the equation.
Exactly.
All right. That is it for the emails. I don't have any voicemails today, actually, either. So it looks like that's going to be it. Dora's still not with us.
That's weird.
Uh-oh. Is that him calling you right now?
No. In fact, that was my phone.
Yeah. So. All right.
Because I know I spoke to Dora a while back, but, you know, maybe he's busy. So, Dora, I miss you, man.
We miss you, Dora. Uh-huh. All right, Lalo, you want to close off on anything? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to say?
My blog is lalonunez.com. I try to put information up there daily. There's tech news, tips, and whatnot. The discussion forums, you know, if you got any useful information or any questions, go ahead and post them there. There's a good community of people. Tutorials, I kind of don't know what you guys or girls want. If there's anything that you're kind of interested in or want to know on how to do something, I'll do my best. And of course, everybody can always expand on them. So
beautiful. Yes, Lalo, thank you for all your contributions to the forums.
Oh, you are quite the welcome, because that's how I learned. I've been blessed working with people even until this day that have no problem with sharing like their knowledge and their information, because a lot of us as techs, you know, the typical stereotype, they were greedy and non-social, and I definitely try to break that mold. So I have no problem with sharing information.
Yeah, I think you're doing a real good job of that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll be seeing you soon. I'll be seeing you in about a month.
Sweet.
Everybody else, I actually will be seeing everybody else as well, because once I move and get a good, strong internet connection down there, I'm going to bring video back and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to have a nice little studio set up, nice green screen again, and we're going to get things rolling with the video. It's going to be nice. And then the only problem about video, and I'm finding this out now the hard way, guys. See, I'm kind of growing out because of you guys. And this is a good thing, by the way. Because of you guys and your interest in the show, I'm kind of outgrowing my hosting, my web hosting. So that means I have to buy more professional type services to host my site. And if I do start posting video, ooh, that's going to take up a lot of bandwidth. So we're going to need all the support we could get. Let's put it that way. But I do want to get video up, because that's where it's at right now. And I enjoyed doing video. And I think you guys, a lot of you guys have mentioned you like to having the video up. So we'll get that back up and going.
And then if you have video, everybody would see my cool Podnuts shirt.
Man, I wish I could show them. Lalo's wearing his Podnuts t-shirt right now. It looks freaking awesome. Okay. But I have a picture of it. I'll post it up on the site and everybody can see you, Lalo.
Oh no.
I'll post it right up on the sales site for the t-shirts and hats.
Cool.
I'll say, like, yeah, look, if Lalo looks this good in it, imagine how you could look.
No. In fact, I think it was last Friday and I went out to the channel site. So I went out to the club scene with the Podnuts shirt.
Oh, nice, man. I love that. Get a live picture out of like that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, that's going to be it for Podnuts Daily. Thanks again, Lalo.
Oh, Thank you, sir.
And I'll see everybody else next time. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.